Welcome to the Steelers by the Lake podcast. My name is James, joined once again by my co-host Cody. Cody, how are you on this Victory Monday?
James, it's another Victory Monday. Preseason victory in the books. Gotta love it. Gotta enjoy it. I'm excited that Pittsburgh is playing well. I expected a little bit of a better game, not gonna lie. We were playing the freaking, well, you know what? After last year playing the Lions, I didn't expect a better game. Let me clarify. But no.
Drastic improvement from the last performance against the Lions.
That's fair. We beat them. We didn't tie to them. That was unfortunate that that happened originally. But anyways, I'm doing good. I'm excited. I'm ready for real football to be here. Not that this is fake football or anything like that, but like games that matter in the sense of completing towards a season, towards a Super Bowl, towards another ring for another finger, if you know what I'm saying, James. So I'm excited for football to be back in full swing.
Yeah, man.
How are
you on that?
How are you?
I'm feeling good. I'm excited about this. You know, 3-0, this is the first time Pittsburgh went undefeated in the preseason. I understand this is from Dave of Steelers Depot. He quoted this on his show today. 1997, he said, this was the first time since 97 that they went undefeated in the preseason. I guess not as big of a feat with only three games, but apparently that year we had five preseason games. So that's something pretty significant as well.
Yeah.
But you like how things looked other than a couple gray areas, but we're going to talk about all that. You know, it was a lot better than I thought in a lot of areas. So a lot to be happy about, a lot to look forward to and be excited about, man. The season's right around the corner now.
Yeah. Oh, the season's literally almost here. I mean, what? The kickoff is not this upcoming Thursday, but the following Thursday.
Correct.
So, I mean, it's correct. Here. It's here. And we play in Cincinnati week one. So
Penn State opening game this upcoming Thursday for any Penn State fans listening.
Like James.
Yeah, like me.
And Kendall. And
Jeremy and Kendall and yep. Joe and Anita.
Yep, exactly.
I'm not sure how many other ones out there. Maybe Joel, if my buddy Joel listens. And you, yeah, but fair. You're already here with us.
That's fair.
anyway, so we're going to get on to the news previous to the game, then cover the game, then get to our 53-man roster predictions. We told you we'd do one, so I hope you listen to this before the cutdowns. As of right now, they only cut three guys. Neither one of us were even considering keeping them anyway, so it doesn't really matter. So first things first, from the first two games, a lot of people talking about Mark Robinson, the middle linebacker, the seventh round pick, the rookie. Everybody's saying he looks awesome. A lot of people comparing him to Vince Williams. Vince Williams chimed in on that, Cody. Did you hear what Vince had to say about it?
Yeah, Vince said that Mark is better than he was as a rookie, which is a high praise from a guy.
That's pretty good.
Let's be real. Anytime
Vince
you have
played
someone,
as a rookie.
Vince did play as a rookie, but anytime you have somebody come in that and obviously Vince isn't a Hall of Famer. Vince isn't anything crazy statistic wise, but he was a solid starter for many years. Whenever you have a guy come in that says, no, don't compare us. Like, this guy's better than I was. That is huge. Not only for the rookie player, but huge for Vince to have the humility to say, no, this guy's better than I was as a rookie. And that is awesome to hear him say. And I'm excited because that gives me a little bit more promise for maybe a player that I kept on the 53-man roster.
Maybe. Hey, I kept him in my first one too.
I know you did.
Anyway, I love it. You know, the thing that I love about him is he's just like a heat-seeking missile. So fast to the ball. He really is a read and react, an instinctual player. And one of the things that Vince was great at later on in his career was blowing up running backs and getting the sack from the middle linebacker position. We really haven't had a lot of guys in Pittsburgh's history who got a lot of sacks from the middle linebacker position. Mm-hmm. But I want to say Vince had like seven sacks one year, which is pretty tremendous from a middle linebacker. He wasn't the most athletic dude in the world. He wasn't the best in coverage. But what he was an absolute mauler rushing the passer and a stud against the run. If that's all you get out of Mark Robinson is a mauler rushing the passer and a stud against the run, that's great. But I think we got a little bit more than that possibly with him. So I'm excited to see the future and what that could be with Mark Robinson. Past that's news. Steelers did decide to waive Donovan Steiner.
Yep.
That's the safety. That was post the cut down to 80. So he got waived. They claimed safety Elijah Riley off the waivers from the New York Jets. Last year, he was on the preseason squad with the Jets as well, and actually picked off Josh Dobbs in the preseason.
Yeah, very interesting.
Fun fact.
Fun fact. Notable fact, for sure.
I think he's a little more stout of a dude, too, to be honest. Like, I thought last year Steiner looked the part of a strong safety. Mm-hmm. This year, he looked like he did – he, like, really, really focused on his conditioning to get, like, super lean. And I thought he lost too much weight, and I think that hurt him. Yeah. You know, he looked skinny this year, and he didn't look skinny last year to me. So I feel like maybe if Steiner wants to continue his efforts of attempting to make an NFL team, he might want to pack a little bit of muscle back on.
Yeah, we'll see what happens with that. In other news, both Master Teague and Tuzar Skipper receive injury settlements and are taken off the IR. So both those guys are no longer with the team, but they're technically, well, I don't know how you say that. They're off IR, but they're taken care of. They don't count as much against the cap as much as they would have had they stayed on the team on the IR.
Yep, so and depending on whatever the agreement is that the injury settlement was, usually there's a certain amount of time, a certain amount of weeks after that is cleared, then Pittsburgh is allowed to sign them back if they wanted to. So let's say, for example, I think of the two, probably Tuzar Skipper as the better chance of that. Let's say the backup outside linebackers just have an awful beginning to the season. Week four comes along, Tuzar is healthy, the injury agreement is settled. He's actually able to be re-signed by the team at that point.
Yeah,
I'm just throwing that out there as random times. I don't know what the agreement is. Nobody will know what that is. But it is possible for both of those guys to come back at that point.
Yeah. Big news from a former Steelers All-Pro, Pro Bowl, I'm assuming, a couple Pro Bowls, I think, corner, maybe only one, actually.
From Swaggin University?
Ike Taylor accepted a position as a Steelers scout. So that's actually very exciting because someone who kind of knows what to look for is someone who played the game. And so Ike Taylor is now a scout for the Pittsburgh Steelers. That's big news. In my opinion, that's big.
Huge. Huge. Ike Taylor, probably the best corner the Steelers have had on the team since Rod Woodson, between him and Joe Hayden. You know, Joe Hayden had a couple very good years with Pittsburgh before his age started to catch up with him a little bit. He got a couple Pro Bowls in there. Ike was tremendous. He didn't have very good hands, but what he did have was the ability to shut down top-tier wide receivers. He shut down Chad Johnson in his prime, and he actually shadowed Wes Welker. Ike Taylor was one of the reasons that the Patriots went out and got Randy Moss, because Ike Taylor just shadowed Wes Welker all over the field. And by getting Randy Moss, then Ike had to stick with Randy. And then Wes was able to match up against lesser talented corners and go ahead and have his way again. But when Ike matched up one-on-one against Wes Welker, he didn't catch the ball.
Nope. So then the cut down to 53 happens tomorrow.
Why we had to record tonight. Yeah, we're like, so, man, we got to get this in.
We are. We're rushing. And I also lose internet tomorrow as I'm moving out of my apartment and to another state. So that'll be fun. But real quick, before we get into the recap of the game, we also want to hear from you guys about your 53-man roster predictions. If there's a specific player you think Pittsburgh should keep, let us know. Put it in the comments. Even if it's after the cutdown, if you think, hey, they cut this player, I think he should have stayed on the team. I think he had potential. Let us know. Comment on the video or comment on the podcast and let us know. We'd love to hear from you guys. So, or message us on privately on Facebook, Instagram, any of those social media accounts for sure. Game recap. Let's talk about it. Injuries first.
So some big injuries and then some big names that were injured, but nothing seemed to coincide. So TJ Watt had a minor knee injury, actually came back into the game later on. Stayed on the sidelines the rest of the game once he came out permanently. Didn't have any ice on it. Didn't have it wrapped. No crutches. Nothing. So it looks to be that he probably avoided any kind of serious injury. It was a tight end cracking back on him and just went straight to his knees.
Mm-hmm.
So luckily, doesn't look too serious. Deontay Johnson with a shoulder. He was on that awesome sideline catch that he got from Mitch Trubisky that was like 20-some yards down the field. Beautiful catch. He did ding himself up. Tomlin said that both of these guys probably would have come back in the game, or at least could have if it were a regular season game. If he felt like they needed to come back in, they could have possibly come back in. So nothing significant, it looks like, with either one. On the other side of things, not so lucky for Demonte KZ and Carlin's Platel. Looks like for KZ, unfortunately, could possibly be a broken wrist. I heard rumors that he was in an air cast at one point on that wrist, which is usually a sign of a very significant injury, whether it be a break or ligament damage or something nasty.
Yep.
So very bad news. He had an awesome preseason going on. Looked really good in the first two games. This would have been his chance to basically concrete his position on the 53-man roster. Now you expect him to end up on the injured reserve. The only question is, will they do it before the regular season starts or wait till afterwards so that they can still get him back? So that's something that we'll discuss probably with our 53-man roster predictions.
Yep.
Other guy, Carlins Platel, a backup corner, got injured late in the game. They said he was walking around on crutches. So bad news for him. He'll probably go on the IR before because he probably wasn't going to make the roster anyway.
Yep. Yep, absolutely. So, James, I have something that I just thought of that I think would be fun. Let's do our 53-man roster predictions while we do the game recap.
All right, I'm in.
I think it'll be actually really exciting to go through position by position and break down, you know, hey, this is an example of why I think they're on the team or why I think they're off the team. So, obviously, starting with the quarterback room.
Mitchell Trubisky, I don't have him making the team.
It doesn't surprise me. He's trash.
Yeah, right. 15-19 in the game. What was this? 160 yards, a touchdown, no interceptions all preseason long. Mitch really showed well for himself, honestly. A couple throws weren't the greatest in the world, but 15 out of 19. If you get that in the regular season, you're ecstatic about that out of your starting quarterback. That's over 70% completion.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, if you can get 70% in the regular season, you're really, really happy about that. So I liked Mitch's escapability. He's showing his athleticism, showing some decent touch on those deep balls, too. That's something that Pittsburgh really struggled with the last 3, 4, maybe even 5 years. Ben just had a tough time hitting guys when they were going deep, and it seems like Mitch has a decent touch on that. So I'm excited to see how that can look in the regular season. But I think he represented himself pretty well in this game, especially with the offensive line not giving their best effort early on.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. He was the one only quarterback to take sacks and 2 sacks for 10-yard loss. I agree. I'm excited to see what he can do in the regular season because I do believe that he should start. I don't think it's necessarily his job to lose. I think more or less it's Kenny Pickett's job to still win. I think Kenny Pickett has... I don't want to say more to prove because he's played phenomenally well. I mean, even in this game, 10 of 14 for 90 yards. That's amazing. But I think Kenny Pickett needs to have, again, it's not Mitchell's job to lose. I want to stand by that. But I think that Kenny can outperform him in practice and show off some different things that maybe they'll say, all right, it's time for Kenny to come in. I don't think that this will be a normal transition. I don't think we're going to see either Mitch Trubisky get hurt and Kenny come in, or Mitch Trubisky playing bad and Kenny come in. I think that more than anything, we could just be playing decent football and they'll be like, all right, third quarter, fourth quarter, game's close or we're winning or whatever, throw Kenny in the game. I think that's how Kenny's going to win the job is in a moment like that, not where they're playing poorly or not where God forbid Mitch Trubisky actually gets hurt. I don't think that's how this would happen naturally. So I'm excited to see this play out because I think it'll be interesting. For sure.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you there. I think for me, it's a little bit more Mitch's to lose than it is. But I just say that because I feel like they really don't want to push it with Kenny. Kenny's looked great so far. You want to make sure that he keeps really good momentum going on with this. You don't want him to start getting down, getting in his head, starting to think maybe I can't do this, that sort of thing. Let's make sure we take our sweet time with this. What I am hoping for is some blowouts early in a good way.
Yeah.
Where Pittsburgh just gets up by like 3 touchdowns, stays up, fourth quarter comes around and they bring Kenny in and start letting him play in garbage time and just get him a little playing time in that manner where you still have starting offensive line, starting quarterback or starting tight ends, running backs, wide receivers, all that. You just insert him just to give him a little bit of playing time, get his feet a little bit wet, and then when the time comes, the time comes. But I think Mitch has played well enough that you're going to go with him. And my only thing with not thinking that Kenny will get it sooner rather than later is just because during the regular season, like quarterback number one gets all the reps. And then somebody does the practice team offense, but that is just simulating what the other team's going to do. So it's not really getting to run the Steelers offense that much. So I really don't think he's going to get a ton of snaps during the regular season in practice. I'm sure they'll work him in a little bit, but Mitch needs to get like 90% of them if he's going to start on Sundays.
Yeah.
So we'll see how it plays out. But, you know, 10 of 14 for Kenny, that's technically his worst game, but that's just because he only threw two incomplete passes in the first game and only one in the second game. Yep. 10 of 14 is still an excellent completion percentage. It's something I'm very happy with. And again, just like Mitchell, zero turnovers. He didn't throw any interceptions all preseason long.
In the first two preseason games, he threw as many incompletions as he threw touchdowns. So I'll take that all day.
Incredible. Yeah. I'll take that. That's incredible. You know, for all the naysayers out there saying Pittsburgh doesn't have a quarterback.
I think we got three.
Yeah, we might have three. And I think Madden needs to reevaluate the ratings on these guys because Kenny don't look like a 69 overall to me, buddy.
Not even close.
Not at all. Not at all.
And unfortunately,
real quick on Mason. Yeah. He played late in the game. At that point, the offensive line was Chaz Green at left tackle and Trent Scott at right tackle and Kendrick Green at left guard and Hassenauer at right guard. At center, and then LeGlue at right guard. So it wasn't the greatest backup offensive line. Mason didn't have a lot of time. Guys started dropping the ball. Jay Sternberger dropped one. And then Tyler Snead dropped one late, too. So that all worked against Mason. I think he only got like two drives, too. So didn't really get a chance to show anything in this one, unfortunately. But it was a little bit more out of his hands because, honestly, that ball he dropped into Jay Sternberger was perfect. Jace just dropped it. He tried to one-hand it. He didn't get a second hand out there, and he didn't get it. And then Snead hit him right in the chest and bounced down. So neither one of those was his fault, that's for sure. Yeah. But want to move on to the running back. So,
I got all three of those guys making the team.
Me too. I won't be surprised if Mason is moved. But I think they're only going to do that if they get blown away. I think it's going to take like a fourth-round pick or better. Because at this point in time, you got to be a little bit concerned about whether or not that offensive line is going to block well enough to keep three quarterbacks healthy all year.
Yep, I agree. Running backs. Let's talk about the running backs. I'm going to talk about who I have staying on the team first.
Okay.
And then you can share, and then we'll kind of do the game recap. I have Najee Harris.
Okay.
Benny Snell. Not Benny Snell. I'd take Benny Snell off.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
I know, I'm taking a chance. Anthony McFarlane.
Yep.
Jaylen Warren.
Yep.
And then Derek Watt as fullback. You can count him in there. So
gotcha.
Those are my three. I assume you have almost the same, but I think you have Benny Snell.
I have one additional. Yeah, I kept Benny Snell also along with Jaylen Warren. I decided I was going to keep one less person at a different position in order to keep all those running backs. Because I think the way that this went down, you know, Jaylen Warren came in as the number two running back in this game. Benny Snell and Anthony McFarlane played mostly in the second half of the game. Mm-hmm. But Benny gives you a ton on special teams on the coverage units. Anthony McFarlane gives you the explosiveness and the speed that you don't get out of the other two.
Yep.
And Jaylen Warren just looks the part too good to cut, in my opinion. I think if you cut him, somebody else picks him up at this point because he showed too well in the preseason.
Yep.
So I feel like you need to keep all of them in this situation, especially knowing that you're getting later in the contract stages of like Benny Snell, for example. He's been on the team, 2 years now? This would be his third year. So you're starting to think, okay, these guys, their rookie contracts are going to run out soon. You need to have a younger guy who you can keep for 4 years as a backup for Najee. So I went four running backs, obviously Derek Watt as well. I'm not cutting him, even though he wasn't healthy enough to play in this game either. Yep. So he missed all three preseason games, which is really, really disappointing, to be honest. Yep. I wanted to see him.
Yep.
Early on in the game, they ran Connor Hayward as a fullback. And I said, dang it, that must mean Derek's not healthy still. So it was nice to see, obviously, Connor getting some burn at fullback. But you wanted to see Derek at least get a chance to hit somebody.
Yeah, absolutely. So again, the rushing for the game, Benny Snell had the most yards with 17. It wasn't even that much. The running game did not burst into the scene other than a couple end arounds and an 11-yard run by Najee Harris. Other than that, not much happened with the running game. The offensive line couldn't really hold holes or keep gaps open. The running backs had nowhere to go. There were a couple times that guys got negative yards when they should have gotten negative more yards.
Yeah.
So nothing.
And to, I think your usage of the word hold is actually really key, because there were a number of holding penalties too that really held them. Yeah.
Yep.
So you'd finally get somebody bust a decent runoff, and then there's a holding penalty and it's coming back.
Yeah.
So some of it not really on the running backs. I think just the blocking wasn't tremendous. And we're going to get into that. Yeah. So we've got me having one more running back than Cody thus far. Do you want to go tight ends? Do you want to go wide receivers next?
Let's just go over them both, because we're going to talk about receiving in the game after this anyways. Okay. So give me your wide receivers first.
Wide receivers, I've got Deontay Johnson, Chase Claypool, George Pickens, Calvin Austin III, although I'm a little bit worried about the fact that he wasn't healthy enough to play in any of the preseason games. I'm wondering if that might be like a move to IR thing after the regular season starts. Gunnar Olszewski, and then I'm keeping Miles Boykin as my sixth, not because I think he's the best wide receiver, but because I think that when it comes to a number six wide receiver, he's a little bit more of a special teamer than he is anything else, and this is a starting gunner for you. You're going to have him and James Pierre most likely as your starting gunners. Yeah, I just spoiled one, sorry. I like the wide receiver aspect of a couple of the other guys a little better. I thought Steven Sims had a really nice game. Tyler Vaughn showed a lot in these preseason games, and I would love to keep them on my roster. I just felt like that last position needs to be able to be a gunner and a guy that gets tackles on kicking and punt coverage. So that's why I went Miles Boykin. How about you?
I get Deontay Johnson, Chase Claypool, George Pickens, Calvin Austin III, again, worried about what he has going on. Gunnar Olszewski right there with you. I think Gunnar performed very well at the wide receiver position. And then some. And then this is where I differ from you. I have us keeping Tyler Vaughn and Steven Sims on the 53.
So you're keeping seven wide receivers?
I'm keeping seven wide receivers because I think at this point, very similar to you dropping certain players and them getting picked up with Jalen Warren, I think that if you drop Steven Sims or Tyler Vaughn, they're getting picked up immediately by somebody else. I think they've both proven explosive, whether on special teams or the receiver position. And I think right now there's enough questions and concerns in other areas where you're not sure who you're going to keep on the team, that at this point there's no point in keeping extra players in places just to keep somebody when there's potentially better out there. And you'll see where I drop some players off because of that. So I am keeping seven wide receivers on the team. And the only reason I don't want to go with Miles Boykin is I don't think that I agree with the special teams push there. Which is why later you'll see I'm probably keeping one more corner than you as well. I just kind of gearing towards that way of having the defenders play gunner compared to the receivers. Not that they can't. And then Miles Boykin is a great special teams player as well with in the gunner position. But I think that if you drop those guys, they're going to be gone personally. So
yeah, I am worried about that. Honestly, both of those guys had nice preseasons. They showed some wiggle. I liked Steven Sims in the return game and then also in the end around game too. Mm-hmm. He showed some ability to make some guys miss. I love Tyler Vaughn's ability to catch the ball and immediately make somebody miss and get yards after the catch. I would keep both of them on the practice squad if I'm able to. Yeah. So like if I were building a practice squad in addition to my 53, I would keep both of them for sure. In the game, Deontay Johnson had a beautiful catch on the sideline. We didn't get to see Chase Claypool. George Pickens really didn't get to do a ton. But, you know, we did see some from Steven Sims. We did see some from Boykin. We did see a little from Tyler Vaughns. These guys got a chance to show a little bit in the game, and it went well. Not so good for Tyler Snead. Like we said near the end of the game, Mason trying to put a drive together, and he dropped the ball thrown right to him. So. Bad look for him, unfortunately. I kind of doubt he'll even make the practice squad at this point.
Yep. Tight end room. I don't have anything else to say about the wide receivers. The wide receivers have been performing incredibly, incredibly well. Steven Sims with the only touchdown catch of the game. Just phenomenal play all around from the top six, seven receivers. It's been crazy. Miles Boykin, I think, did impress in this game, and that was hard for me to take him off. But I think I've just seen too much out of the other guys to go there. But let's go tight ends real quick. I have us keeping three tight ends, Pat Freiermuth, Zach Gentry, Connor Hayward.
Yeah, I think this one's kind of vanilla, to be honest.
Yeah.
We didn't really see much out of Kevin Rader or Jay Sternberger. Just to be 100% transparent, of the three guys that were cut before we started recording, Jay Sternberger was one of them.
Yep.
So maybe Jace reverts to the practice squad. I wouldn't be surprised, though, if they keep Kevin Rader again, just because they like his blocking, and he seems to be pretty decent on special teams, too. But I don't think there's much of a chance of him getting that spot over Connor, because Connor's just too useful in too many positions.
Yeah.
So I think Connor gets the edge and the leg up on that final tight end position. How about offensive line? You want to go first on offensive line?
Yeah, I can go first on offensive line, because I'm gonna startle you here for a second. the obvious five, you have Dan Moore Jr., Kevin Dotson, yeah. Mason Cole, James Daniels, Chukwuma Okorafor. That's looking at the offensive yep. line. Then I have Joe Haig.
Yep.
Kendrick Green.
Yep.
J.C. Hasenhauer.
Yep.
That's it.
Me too.
Oh, really?
Dude, the rest of them didn't play well enough. I hate it.
No.
I thought for sure. I won't be surprised.
I thought you were going to carry nine in.
I would if there was a ninth one that I liked enough. And honestly, I don't even like those eight that much, because I would love to cut Kendrick Green. I would love to cut Kendrick.
But you can't. The
blocked field goal, the dude ran right through Kendrick Green. Earlier in the game, there was a deep ball that was completed. It was a great play holding on Kendrick Green. Why? Because he got run the hell over. Just run over. And this is in the second half. It's a backup defensive lineman. Mauled him. Ran him right over. And a big play gets called back because of it.
And the only reason
Kendrick Green.
The only reason you can't get rid of him is because he's a high draft pick.
Yep. And I think they won't give up on him yet this early. Unless there is somehow drastic improvement from how he played this preseason to how he plays next preseason, I don't see him being around next year. I don't think you can.
Okay, so here's the one question. We're going a little off topic, the 53. If you kept one more, who would it be? Because I think it's between two, in my opinion. It's Trent Scott or John LeGlue.
I'm LeGlue, because he can play both tackle and guard and has looked pretty decent at guard at times. If I didn't think that Pittsburgh was going to keep Green no matter what, I would rather have LeGlue on the roster than Green. I just would. I think he holds up better against bull rushes, and he gives you way more in the ability of actually playing some tackle too. So I think LeGlue is your next guy in. I think he's the one that you should keep, but probably won't, because of needing to keep other guys at other positions. And plus, honestly, you can probably sneak LeGlue to the practice squad and call him up every Sunday if you need to. You know, they have that option where they can bring a couple guys up from the practice squad and play them on or have them active every Sunday. And I think LeGlue will get that call up a few times.
Yep, I agree. I'm right there with you. We talked about the offensive line already. I don't know if there's much more to talk about. Dan Moore got destroyed multiple times.
Yep. Yeah, he got a little better, I thought, as the game went on, which seems to be the rhythm with him. He's right out of the gate. He's just kind of awful. And then as the game goes on, he kind of settles in, and then people stop beating him. But again, I don't know how much of this is not going against starters anymore, or if he is just getting better as the game goes on.
Yeah.
I thought that this was, again, a poor performance from Dan Moore. I thought the other four didn't do too bad. I did see Mason Cole get beat once in this game, which I think was the first time I saw it happen all preseason. So that's not a bad thing.
No.
And I thought a lot better performance out of James Daniels, as he kind of struggled the first two games. But I think he looked pretty solid in this one. But overall, we just need to see more movement from these guys. We need them to maul some people in the run game, and we're just not seeing it yet. And I don't know if they haven't worked together enough yet for that, or what, but we've got to be able to get some movement in this run game. Otherwise, people are just going to pin their ears back, and it's going to be open season on our quarterbacks, and we'll definitely need all three if that's the case.
Absolutely. Defensive side of the ball, you want to go D-line as a
whole?
Yeah,
let's start there.
You first, baby.
All right. I got a feeling that we're going to be the same as we were in our first 53-man on this. The only wild card there is the one that I'm going to say right out of the gate that I am still keeping, Mr. Montravius Adams. You're pointing at your ears.
I'm just waiting for you.
Okay, cool. We're keeping them all. Isaiah Loudermilk, Chris Wormley, DeMarvin Leal, Tyson Alualu, Larry Ogunjobi, and Cam Hayward. I got seven. I don't see any way around it. I do think we do need to pay attention to Montravius Adams. There's a chance he goes on the IR after the season starts, but I doubt they'll do it beforehand, because they don't want to have to deal with trying to cut him and then somebody else claiming him and all that nonsense. But I think at the beginning of the season, those seven will all be on. Won't be surprised if there's a roster move shortly after, and then you start getting some other people in other positions possibly, because you don't necessarily need seven.
I got the same thing. Nothing changed. It's a good call. Obviously, Cam Hayward with his batted balls is phenomenal. Tyson Alualu getting involved.
Two of them in that game.
Yeah, two exactly. I don't know.
Larry looks stout against the run, man. I like how Larry Ogunjobi looks against the run.
There were multiple times where I saw him pursue a player after the player had gotten outside of him or passed him or whatever, and being involved on the tackle. Very, very stout against the run.
Yep. Athletic dude, good hustle. It's just what they coach. You know, that's exactly what they coach, but it seems like it was already instilled in him, because I can't imagine that coaching this him this short amount of time would make him look like that. So a lot to be said about that. Could be a real stud for them. We'll see. I'm excited to see him pass rushing in nickel situations with him and Cam, TJ, and Alex. I think the four of them could really wreak some havoc against some opposing quarterbacks. But let's get into those outside linebackers here before we get too far into this, right?
Yeah.
Before we go too far, DeMarvin Leal, I got to say the kid had a nice game again, really making some things happen in the preseason here. The backup defensive line just didn't do enough for me. Again, another real big hit from Khalil Davis, but his best case scenario is on the practice squad. I think this was the first preseason game we didn't see much of Henry Mondo. I mean, he played a lot, but he didn't splash much. I think he splashed a lot more in the first two games, and I think it's a lot easier to put him on the practice squad now. But I think those guys – and I'm also worried about Loudermilk. Loudermilk unable to play this last game and the game before as well. Well, it wasn't healthy, so I want to know what's going on there. I want to see him healthy and dressing on Sundays.
Yeah, absolutely. Outside linebackers, I'm keeping four. TJ Watt, Derek Tuska, Alex Highsmith, and Rashid Jr. Is my last guy.
Yep, I'm the same four. We got to mention TJ Watt in that first couple drives, just an animal against the run.
Oh my gosh.
Kept on tackling the running back behind the line of scrimmage. Just showing why he's the best defensive player in the NFL, even though he was somehow only ranked the sixth best player by all the NFL players. But that's at least –
whatever.
Hey, yeah, I think it was only Aaron Donald was ranked higher than him as far as defensive players.
Yeah.
So that's something at least. I can kind of take that, but yeah. Anyway, TJ is just incredible. I really want to see Alex. Alex didn't get to play at all in the preseason games, and this is a big year for him. It's year three. He's that shoe-in guaranteed starter. What do we have?
Yep.
You know, are we going to have a 10-sack guy, or are we going to have 6.5-7 sacks again and start having to look at the possibility of trying to find somebody that could be an upgrade at that position? I think he can give us 10 this year. That's what I'd put him down for, is 10 sacks. But we got to see it.
Yep.
No preseason action. That makes it tough. That means it might be week three or four before he's really going on all four cylinders.
True. Very interesting. I'm very interested to see what's going to happen with him, because, again, not seeing him makes it hard to put him on the 53, but also at the same time, he's the guy. He's the starter on that opposite side of TJ Watt. You don't just come in and take that spot from somebody unless there's a long-term injury. But, again, not seeing him is very concerning for, I think, everybody. But let's not go too far into that. I think Derek Tuska has been playing fairly well throughout the preseason. He's being consistently involved and being actively pursuing the ball, and not, I feel like I haven't watched him take a playoff, which has been very promising to me. So excited
Derek
for that.
Derek looks good on special teams too.
Derek looks amazing on special teams. Speaking of special teams, my fourth inside linebackers making big special team splashes. Let's talk about inside linebackers. You first. Well, did you go first for that one?
No, I did.
I did. You go first.
You did. Middle linebackers, I'm only at four of them. And I cut down from my last prediction. I had five last time. Since then, Ulysses Gilbert, the third, went on the IR. So obviously, he wasn't going to be on my list this time. But I got Miles Jack, Devin Bush, who I thought played a lot better in this game.
Yep.
Actually had a key stop on fourth down. Him and Miles Jack, he got the ankles. Miles Jack hit him high. They kept him short on fourth and short there. It was like a fourth and less than one. And those guys both just hammered the running back and stopped him short. It's real nice to see Robert Spillane, I think, the shoe-in at number three. And I think it's almost a shoe-in for Mark Robinson at number four now, honestly. The only question is whether or not they keep a fifth guy. Will Marcus Allen come on because of his abilities in the punt coverage unit as that personal protector to the punter? But right now I've got Marcus Allen off and just those four.
Yep, I'm right there with you. Miles Jack, Devin Bush, the shoe-ins. Robert Spillane, all but a shoe-in. And Mark Robinson has basically set himself up for success in how well he's played. His just velocity going towards the ball has been amazing and hitting, making contact with players. He got a tackle on special teams this past week by blowing up a block. Thinking back to it, I'm not even sure if he got the tackle or if he just knocked the guy back into him and then touched him. It was a phenomenal play on his part, and he's too much of a freaking missile to let potentially go.
You know what his special teams play reminds me of a previous Steelers linebacker when he played special teams?
Who?
James Harrison.
I knew it.
Because when Harrison played special teams, when he was on the kick coverage and punt coverage, he was just blowing people up. And he runs kind of like a bodybuilder. He's kind of square. He doesn't look like a sprinter at all when he's running.
Nope.
But he moves pretty quick. And when he hits you with some force. And I love it. You know, I love the way he carries himself. I love his hustle to the ball. I love that a guy like that never should have been around in the seventh round. And I love that he was one of my three guys to look for in making a splash in the preseason. And there he is, you know.
There he is. Yeah, I don't have much else to say about those guys from the game standpoint. Moving to the secondary, let's go corners first.
Yes.
I'll share my guys that I'm keeping. So let's talk. I got Cameron Sutton, Akilah Witherspoon, Levi Wallace. Those are the shoe-ins. Those are the guys you expect.
Yeah.
Arthur Maulet, James Pierre, and Justin Lane. James Pierre and Justin Lane specifically staying. Why are you making that face?
You're on the Lane train, huh?
I'm on the Lane train. Only because of special teams play. That is literally it. I think that Justin Lane has still a lot to learn and still a lot to develop to be a good corner. I'm not sure that he's going to develop those things to be a good corner. But those are the guys that I expect them to keep again, mostly because of not keeping Miles Boykin on the offense. You got to have another gunner opposite of James Pierre on defense. So those are the six guys that I'm keeping in the cornerback room.
I'm keeping five and just not keeping Justin Lane. I've got the other five the same. I think Arthur Maulet is just too valuable as a run defender and nickel for them to cut him. They love that in his game. Cam Sutton with a nice interception in this game, by the way. Mm-hmm. And he just, again, showing his football IQ. He's not the most athletic dude out there. He's in fantastic shape. Don't get me wrong. But he's not super, super fast. What he did is he was in coverage of a guy that was running a go route. But he saw somebody cutting underneath. He thought that's where the ball was going. And he just stopped. He jumped that route and he picked it off. And it looked like it was an awful throw by the quarterback. But it was honestly just Cam reading the play and making that interception. And his IQ makes him a pretty serious option there. And there is a report. Jerry Dulac is saying that he thinks Cam Sutton's going to get contract extension before the season starts. He is in the final year of a 2-year deal. So not like it was a huge deal or anything.
Yeah.
But they like him and they want to keep him around. So we'll see. Look for that. You know, there's a possibility. Maybe Cam gets a 2 or 3 year extension here to keep himself around for a few more years.
All right. Time for the safeties.
Mm-hmm. My turn to go first.
How many do you have? I bet you have five.
I do have five, yes.
Four, okay.
Yeah. So we've got Micah Fitzpatrick, obviously, Terrell Edmonds, Trey Norwood, Miles Killebrew, and then the fifth one, DeMonte KZ. And I know he had a nasty wrist injury, okay. But I'm saying that because I think what they're going to do is keep him on the initial 53. Then move him to IR the first day they're eligible to do so, at which point I think Elijah Riley becomes the fifth safety. He looked awesome in this game. He had two absolutely devastating hits. He plays great against the run. He comes up and cleans people pull up against the pass, and he had a pass breakup late in the game where it was just diving full extension. It was about to be a touchdown, and he dives in front of it and breaks it up. The kid looked fantastic, and I think with the injury to DeMonte Casey, and I'm just speculating that it's probably at the minimum a broken wrist, at the minimum 6 to 8 weeks kind of thing for injury, maybe even it could be an 8 to 12 weeks. If that's the case, you need another guy out there that can cover and can hit people. And I don't think Miles Kilbrew is that good as a safety.
It's fair.
So I think you want another guy with a little bit of experience. And the way he played in that game, I think he just played himself onto the roster, just not the initial. It'll be like a day after is my prediction on that.
Got it. Well, I'm right there with you, minus the last guy you said, minus KZ. I got Minka, Terrell Edmonds, Trey Norwood, and Miles Kilbrew. No Elijah Riley for me. I think he's worth keeping. And it's hard because we just picked him up off of waivers from the Jets. I'm curious and nervous that someone else would pick him up if we drop him to try and get him on the practice squad. But more than anything, I think Miles Kilbrew is a shoe-in because of his special teams performance. Trey Norwood's had a fairly decent preseason, minus few missed tackles. And then Terrell Edmonds being your starter, Minka Fitzpatrick. Now, I will say, I would not be shocked if Terrell Edmonds gets moved at some point and they try to potentially bring Elijah Riley back or something like that. Three players that I'll bring up real quick while I finish this, that I think are high trade prospects for Pittsburgh. Obviously, one being Mason Rudolph. I don't think that's... We've already seen it. We've seen the articles. It's been talked about. I think Terrell Edmonds is number two because of how the play has gone, even though he's, you know, recently signed a new contract and all that stuff. I think the third one is going to shock you here. I think the third one's Chase Claypool.
I'm hearing a lot of people talking about Chase Claypool, like they should trade him. I don't think Pittsburgh isn't going to do it just because it's not as deep of a wide receiver room as far as experience.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they're not going to do that because I think they're going to want to run a lot of three wide receiver sets. And I don't think they look at Calvin Austin the third that way yet because, I mean, they didn't even get to see him in a preseason game. And Gunnar Olszewski's resume right now as far as a wide receiver isn't tremendous, although you got to like what you saw out of him in the
same thing with Tyler Vaughn.
Could be. I'm with you on the Mason Rudolph, obviously. We talked about that.
Yep.
I don't think personally it'll be Edmonds. I just think that there's not enough guys that can play strong safety as well as he does on the roster presently. I think Elijah Riley could turn into that. But Norwood, a little bit smaller of a guy, is a better free safety than he is strong safety.
Yep.
I want to see a couple more years of him beefing up a little bit. And then I think he could turn into that good strong safety. Miles Kilbrew just not that good in coverage.
That's fair.
So I'd be real worried about him as a strong safety. My guy is Chris Wormley, and I've been saying this for a little while. I think that if you can get something for Wormley, is in the back end of a one-year – I think it's a one-year deal. I know it's the final year of his deal. If you can move him for a fifth, do it.
Yep, I'm there with you.
That's assuming that Montrevious Adams is healthy. If Montrevious Adams has to go to the IR, then you don't do that probably. You hang on to him, but...
Yeah, I don't know. We'll have to wait and see what happens. Excited for that. Obviously, let's talk special teams.
Special teams. We're going to differ here.
No, we're not. No, we're not. Not even going to get close to differing. Chris Boswell.
Is it because there's only one kicker, one punter, and one long snapper on the team right
correct.
Now?
Correct. Chris Boswell, Presley Harvin, and Christian Kuntz. Those are the three. Thank you. See you. Goodbye.
I tried to make it dramatic, okay?
It wasn't dramatic at all. Was it?
Well, the Steelers did that to us, okay? There's no backup long snapper, no backup punter, no backup kicker. They've all been cut, so.
Ta-da!
There it is. So we only have a few differences here.
We only have a few.
On the offensive side, I kept Anthony McFarland. Cody did not. I kept Miles Boykin. He kept Steven Sims and Tyler Vaughns. On the defensive side, he kept Justin Lane, and I did not. And then I kept DeMonte KZ, again, with the expectation that he'll go to IR as soon as the season officially starts. And then Elijah Riley will fill his position. Cody did not keep KZ or Riley. So we're pretty close otherwise. It's a pretty close comparison.
Yeah,
Was it like 48 of our guys are the same? So,
yep, that's not bad. We'll see what happens with the actual thing. Again, you guys share us what you guys think will happen or who you want to see Pittsburgh keep or who you think they should have kept if you respond after they already cut down tomorrow. We look forward to seeing that from you guys. Again, thank you guys so much for watching, liking, whatever it is, on all the social media. Remember to follow, like, and subscribe on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. Subscribe and ring the bell. It's free. Watch the videos. Let us know what you think. And until next time, where I'll be in a different state, this is Cody and James signing off.
Peace.